Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Pump Site Geeked tonight. It is Copa. It is USA and Argentina. Eric, you're going to be watching the USA-Argentina match tonight, right? Biggest thing going on in the country tonight, right?
Says who? No, I will not be watching it.
What are you talking about?
I'll be flipping around between that and the College World
Series. Around?
Uh-huh.
Are the Frogs playing tonight?
They are, and I have a vested interest in college baseball.
Why?
Since TCU is making their third consecutive trip to the College World Series.
What does that mean?
Hopefully this year they'll actually get to the finals.
Are you contemplating using one of your... What do they use? What's the term that they use in corporate?
Let me not back myself into a corner and say my country is not bigger than my school, but tonight I am making the executive decision as TV king of the household to watch my alma mater before my country. So,
is it paid time off, PTO?
Yes.
I hear PTO used by these people, and they're like, oh, I have to use a PTO day tomorrow.
I've accrued quite a bit here in my...
You've quite a bit.
We're not corporate yet. We are having a corporate conversation.
Are you doing a PTO? Are you thinking of using PTO next week?
Maybe.
So if TCU wins tonight,
you and I may both be on vacation next week.
Well, the audience is like, why aren't you back there for U of A?
Because it's not a work trip. It's a fun trip.
Oh, I see.
But if TCU works. Could play U of A in the finals.
I see how this works.
I don't have a credential, but I could always figure out a way
to
get in.
You could always weasel your way into one. Come on. So, well, that's good to know. It's good to know you got your eye on taking some days off.
Yeah, and my country, as it'll be the secondary option on the TV tonight.
So. You've worked, what is it, how many days in a row have you worked now?
Like three, I think.
Three?
No, two.
Yeah, it's just enough.
And I haven't taken a vacation in at least a couple days.
Yeah, right.
It's time.
Right. Jason Lockenfer is going to be with us today. NFL Insider with CBS Sports, cbssports.com. He is also big into World Cup and soccer and Copa and all that. So we'll talk with Jason. I'm sure we'll visit about the NFC West a little bit. It's June 21st, so I'm not going to sit here and break down what's going to happen at the backup left guard or tackle position with Jason Lockenfer. That's not happening. But I always like talking with Jason, so we'll visit with Jason. Sure, Carson Palmer and his showing against Carolina will be brought up and all the stuff that we've been talking about incessantly for the last 6 months. I will be part of our conversation with Jason. I'm looking forward to visiting with him, though, so it's fine. I was watching the Diamondbacks game yesterday while we were doing the show, and they were up 3-0 before I knew what hit them. If they played Philadelphia, like, I don't know, 30 times, they'd have 30 wins. Philly stinks.
They're good against the bad, as we like to say. The Diamondbacks are good against the bad, which you have to do as, you know, a team trying to fight for that playoff spot.
So what you're saying is they're going to get ripped the next two nights by Toronto.
I don't know. They're playing better baseball.
Are they interesting to you yet?
No.
Yeah? I mean, I don't like filling shows.
Every fifth day they're interesting.
When Greinke pitches.
Correct.
But see, here's my thing on that. I'll disagree with you. When Archie pitches, I'm there. Even Shelby pitching yesterday, because they've given up a boatload, and you look at it and say, you know, gosh, if those two could just come around, they could get themselves back into this.
And kudos for the Diamondbacks for bringing Shelby back against the Phillies. That is the perfect remedy for a struggling pitcher.
Pitching
against one of the worst teams in baseball.
They can't score runs.
No.
But you're still not interested. So I shouldn't even bring them up every day? Like, Eric and I do not have these show meetings. I'm going to say this and you say that. And we're going to meet for an hour before the show. We don't do that stuff. Radio's fun. Radio should just be spontaneity. I mean, it really should be. And so I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I'm pretty interested in what they're doing. I don't know. Tonight I'm watching Copa. Because there is a side of Copa. So just so you guys know, why is it Brad is one of the very few voices, very, very few voices that even gives one rat's ass about what's going on in soccer in Arizona? Because it's the old line that Gretzky used of how I don't skate to where the puck is. I used this yesterday, but I think it's really appropriate here. I'm skating to where the puck is going to be. And everybody's going to the same place in sports, and I see things a little differently. And if you're not seeing what's going on worldwide, with the beautiful sport of soccer, then you're just missing out. So you have United States and Argentina tonight. This, if USA, and I'll talk to Jason about this, if USA beats Argentina tonight, this would go down as one of the biggest wins in the history of the USA. They're down three players. So I'm really into this tonight. There's going to be wholesale changes. You have one of the top players in the world in Messi who's going to be out there doing his thing tonight. How can you not be into that? We're actually going to a sports bar tonight. We're going to go to a BBW tonight, my wife and I. Dropping our little nitwit off at water polo, and we're just going to go find ourselves at a corner booth, and I don't know if I'm going to paint my face or anything. There is an outside chance, in all seriousness, there's an outside chance that the United States is going to get the World Cup bid the next time that it comes available, which I believe is 2025. I was talking with some people around town yesterday about this. And so because of that, that would be the world's largest event by far, over anything else. And it could be played here in the United States in the mid-2025. What we do with this tournament now in 2016 is a big part of what our bid is going to look like for the world of soccer. Would I want to see a World Cup here? Yeah. It's like being on a rant 10 years ago about getting a Final Four here. You don't just show up and say, boy, I'd really like to get a Super Bowl here. You got to put in years and years and years and years of work to build the stadium and to be out there lobbying as Michael Bidwell has done so successfully. He's done a great job in that. But our market is changing. We're not going to be in the Super Bowl rotation, all likelihood, the next few years because of Los Angeles. They're going to go to the West Coast, and if San Diego gets a new stadium, then they're probably going to get a Super Bowl. So to stay in rotation for the big mega events that we're really good at doing, it means you've got to stay on it. I got to stay on it. My cohorts have to stay on it. Doesn't matter if they're on the radio or TV or print side. We all have to stay on it. Yeah, I'm cheerleading a little bit. I am, and there's occasion to do that. We should rally to bring a World Cup to our country. And Phoenix would be one of the World Cup sites, if not the main site. Okay, that's yet to be determined. So this week, the loser of tonight's match, like Eric and I were talking this morning beforehand of just, you know, if the USA wins or if the USA loses, how much coverage do we give it? If Argentina comes out here, how much attention do we pay? Do we pay equal attention? So on and so forth. The bottom line is we're going to be there and we're going to pay attention to it because it's a big deal here. And you got to stay on top of this stuff. So a win tonight for the USA would be huge. I'm just interested to see how the United States plays against Messi. The stadium is sold out in Houston, as it should be. It's over 60,000 fans that are going to be there tonight. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. And we'll talk about this match further with Jason Lockenfor. I want to talk to Jason about Klinsmann. Klinsmann said Argentina is beatable. So I'm going to talk to him about that a little bit later on in the show. So that's on my mind today. I watched some of the U of A baseball game last night, but I didn't see Pedro kill it. Now, Pedro's not with us today. Pedro is with us tomorrow. He's at the College World Series watching his son, who's a pitcher for the U of A, Pedro Gomez. So, Eric, last night, so Pedro said to us last week he would do whatever they wanted him to do.
They being ESPN.
ESPN. They told him, go be a dad. Go, and we had Pedro on from the airport. He was going to go to Omaha. He was going to unplug, be a dad, pour himself into his son. Pedro Valley resident, great guy, one of the best at doing baseball. So they put him to work last night?
They did. He was in the stands, and forgive me for not remembering the U of A player's name, but there is a player on this year's team, I believe it's the left fielder, who was born on the side of a freeway in San Diego.
Really?
Yes. His mother, who was in Omaha, does not speak any English. Okay. So Carl Ravitch tossed to Pedro.
Carl's doing the play-by-play.
Yes. Tossed to Pedro,
right,
who told the backstory of this player in English, then asked questions to the mother in Spanish, then translated her answers back in English, then did a crosstalk in English with Ravitch, who threw it back to Pedro, who asked more questions to the mother in Spanish, and then translated it back to English. It's, it, I mean, it,
All in about 2 minutes.
We struggle trying to speak one language.
Yes.
And he was going back and forth between English and Spanish. Shows you how diverse and talented Pedro Gomez is. I mean, we all knew that, but another example on display last night in
Omaha. So they're making him work. What I want to know is he charging the company to be there?
I don't know if he...
If they put him
know.
On the air, does
I mean,
he
was wearing a he was wearing the U of A golf shirt with the block A on the side.
Really?
So I don't think he was, like, on the clock, so to speak. Probably just a favor. But, yeah, I mean, he's there. He knows Arizona baseball just as well as anyone else. Arizona Wildcat baseball, that is.
That's a... He wouldn't charge.
I don't think so.
I'm just joking, by the way. On that.
And his son Rio is a pitcher.
Did he get in yet?
I don't believe so. That's the reason he is.
They lost last night.
They did. Tough.
So they play tomorrow against UC Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Knockout round, elimination game. So
is that on the same time that we're on? You know,
No, it's in the afternoon.
So we're going to be all right with Pedro.
Yeah.
Because there's some things I want to ask him about, like how much did you charge the company? Did you think about it? Somebody there to put your makeup on? Did you, I mean...
There you go. His hair looked good. It always looks good, though.
He's got
guy,
hair.
You know?
He's got, I mean, how does that stuff not look good? Let's talk about the Suns draft here in a little bit. We've got some pictures of the stadium construction over at Sun Devil I want to bring on board, too, a little bit later on. I'm speaking this weekend... I'm heading to Pine Top Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be in Pine Top to host the annual White Mountain Sun Devil Club event. And this is a really cool deal. Every year they give scholarships out to some kids that are on the res. Then ASU calls me and says, hey, we really like how you do the show, and it's the coaches. I found out today Tracy Smith is going to be up there, the ASU baseball coach. He's a funny dude. We've had him on the show. He has a great sense of humor on Twitter, great bite about him. Bobby Hurley's going to be up there. I'm looking forward to seeing Bobby and playing some golf up there with playing like a lot of golf, like 3 rounds of golf. I don't know if my knees are going to handle it. If I come back here in a chair, you're just going to have to wheel me up. They're beating me up pretty good this weekend. Paula's going to be there. So, and I'm not sure if I'm going to put her up on stage or not yet. Try to embarrass her. So it'll be fun, though, and there's a lot of Sun. There's like 300 big cigars that are going to be there. Diehard Sun Devil fans. I was texting with Danny White. I'm going to see Danny, and it'll be fun. Next, LeBron James' kid is being recruited. He's 11. He's already been offered by a couple colleges. I can't script this stuff. Plus, more on the basketball front, and the Suns' draft is day after tomorrow. We'll get into that next. Jason Locke on 4 in about 20 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. We have the draft on Thursday. I'm in this mode with the Suns. We talked yesterday how the Suns came out 350-1 next to last to Brooklyn. And I saw that got picked up and people were all commenting on the Suns being picked to finish so low. I think they're better than that. I'm actually really interested to see what they do on Thursday night. It's hard to say on draft night if they screwed up when they take two players. We can all say, oh, this guy can't play. If they take Dragan Bender, this Croatian 7-footer, if they take him, does that mean that Alex Len didn't make it? Does that mean that there's another deal coming? If at 13, they take this guy. So on draft night, there's always going to be like, I guarantee you Ryan McDonough is going to walk down the hall and stand in front of the assembled masses and say, we couldn't believe this guy was there. This is the guy we wanted all along. He's a really talented player. We think he's going to do great things for us. What we like most about him is his coach said this about him. We really believe we've got ourselves a great core here. If you look at what we did last year with Devin Booker, this is what we believe we can do here as the Phoenix Suns. He's going to say all of that. I can save you the time Thursday night of watching the draft. Other than the intrigue of who they're going to take, the Suns are going to gush, and every team is going to gush. If we were to go back and see what they said about Anthony Bennett when he was taken number one in the draft and how he can't even play dead now, isn't even on the court for teams, okay? It's one of those deals where the draft, the drama and the mystery around it, once you're outside of 1 and 2, you don't know. You simply don't know. I know that's not fun for you. It'd be more fun if I sat here and said, this is the guy, and he's terrific, and he's great. You don't know. But what you do know is the Suns are going to say they got it all figured out. Every team does it on draft nights. It's predictable as the sun coming up. It's predictable as it's going to be 115 degrees in June in Phoenix. It just is. So I'm interested to see what they do in terms of how the pieces fit. If you take Bender as a 7-footer with the 4th pick after you already spent a top 10 pick on Alex Len, then what you're saying is Alex Len was a miss. He doesn't fit into the equation. You're saying that. You have to say that. You cannot say, you know, taking 2 7-footers in a span of 5 years is a really good idea. No, it's not. Unless something major is going to come of all of this. The Suns clearly are in a position. The apathy has never been greater around this organization, ever. You can sell me Devin Booker all day long, and I'll say, I agree with you. But most people don't know and don't care. So don't be mad at me about this. I'm only telling you what's out there. Empty seats, zero television ratings, speak for themselves. Okay? Just the whole business side of where they are right now. And if I didn't care, I care more than most anybody else in this state about this team. Because when I got here, they was special. And I was a part of it. Every day, I was a part of it. And to see this thing just be completely off the rails. And I see that, well, they bring in Bender. What a great move that would be. I'm not demeaning him. It's just if you take him, it means what you did with Alex Len was a miss. Unless you can parlay him into something else. I don't like it when pro sports teams stand there in front of you and say, this is great. This shouldn't have happened to us. This was unfortunate. No, you didn't plan right. Don't give me excuses. All I've gotten is excuses, and you should be more supportive. No, I shouldn't. Because if I don't say it, if I sit here and say, this is great, this is fun, this is exciting, no, it's not. I just saw some great, exciting, fun basketball over the last month and a half. The playoffs this year were great. I don't care what you say. There were games that weren't great, okay? There were games, the first few games of the NBA Finals weren't great. By and large, big picture, great stuff, great drama. And I didn't get to experience any of it here in Phoenix. None of it. So I don't find it funny when a team is picked 350-1 and next to last. People just laugh, and this should not be the butt end of jokes. Just shouldn't. We're better than that. So on the draft, you know, as you're looking at these players that the Suns are going to bring in, they're going to say all the right things. But if they were to have some guts and do something major. You've got to do something major. You just cannot sit there and take 4 and 13 and plug them into your roster and say, well, we've got this great guard over here. Robert, you can't sit here and just do this and wait for your building to be built, as some are suggesting around town. And Robert's just going to sit on the sidelines until he gets his new building. No. So then you're asking people, and you're asking corporations to put down money and invest their time while you're waiting for the building thing to go through. That's not right. That's not what a pro sports owner is all about. I mean, that's like saying when the Cardinals were over at Sun Devil Stadium and it was a bad situation for everybody involved, that we should have accepted them throwing garbage teams out on the field. And no, we shouldn't. We never should. Pro sports owners should be held at this enormously high standard. It's the entertainment field. We should never accept, well, you know, the building isn't quite where it needs to be, and Robert's got to get the building figured out, so he's trying to save until... No, your team's worth $1 billion with a B. This isn't building another mall. This thing's fallen into disrepair because of you. So fix it. Do something to get the masses back interested in coming to see your product, because they're not. You know, other than when the Lakers come to town, there's no more Kobe to get after, and there'll be Laker fans all over the place if they're good, and they're going to have a high pick this year, so they'll at least be interesting. When Cleveland rolls through for their one game, I hope they're able to sell the building out. Go make a run at Kevin Durant. You're not going to get him, but if you made a run at LaMarcus Aldridge last year, you should go make a run at the top free agent every year. At least pick up the phone. People will laugh at you. I won't. A lot of people won't, but there'll be people that say, what's Phoenix thinking? You know, Jerry had the guts to go out and make a deal to go get Charles to bring him here. You've got to do that, Robert. You can't sit with this as you're rolling it out there every day. It's unacceptable to see this. So if I've got to see, if Bender comes here and they keep Alex Len, it's like, come on, guys, what are you doing? And when I hear people try to justify, well, they're going to do this, and this is a really smart move and a really good move and a really smart move and a really good move. And please, somebody, anybody, hold somebody accountable down there. So I'm excited for the draft this week because it's going to tell me, and I think it's going to tell you, if we're here a week and a half from now, 2 weeks from now, was it free agency starts on Friday the 1st. Friday the 1st, I'm going to be in Yellowstone coming off of backpacking. I'm going to come off of the hill, and I'm going to come down. I'm going to have a nasty-looking beard. I'm going to smell like a bear, and I'm going to come off the hill, and I'm going to open up my phone somewhere where I get a signal and say, well, what do the Suns do? And if it's, well, they drafted these two guys, and they didn't do anything in free agency, and we're just going to sit here and go through the summer, a long, hot summer with the same group, but we've got Devin Booker coming back, and that's it? That's unacceptable. You want to add anything to this?
I've just enjoyed the rant.
I'm feeling better now.
Yeah, just... We talk about pivots.
You want me to rehearse?
The Suns have been pivoting as a franchise like the last, 4 or 5 years?
They've been pivoting. They've been teetering.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Maybe someday they'll draft LeBron James Jr.
That's nicely done.
Thank you.
That's good.
I'm here to help.
So LeBron James Jr., as Eric said. So, of course, LeBron's kid comes up with him afterwards. And I do believe that a lot of this is calculated. I do. There's nothing wrong with that. LeBron feels like it's time to get his legacy out there and his son out there. And there he is. Here's the thing on LeBron James Jr.'s son. LeBron James Jr.'s son is 11. He's an 11-year-old, and he's already been offered a razor deal because he shaves. No, I'm just kidding. He's been offered scholarships to Duke and Kentucky. Duke and Kentucky, as an 11-year-old, have told LeBron James. Now, I'm watching him as an 11-year-old, and I've seen this tape, and there's no question, obviously, that he's going to be a big, big, big-time player as an 11-year-old. You can see that in some kids where you look at and say, okay, get back to me. There's a few of them here in the Valley. I'm back coaching, so I'm seeing some of the talent that's out there as 11-year-olds. This is terrific to watch. It's fun to watch. I was like seeing the next greatest one come along. Like Eric's put up on social media last night, Marcus Shaver. Marcus Shaver was one of the top guards in Arizona. He decided to go chase, I don't know what he was thinking, but he decided to go down to Texas and go to Vegas, and now he's back here and he's going to Shadow Mountain. That's very good for Arizona high school basketball. There's no LeBron James out here, but it's fun for guys that are hoopaholics to go out and watch these kids come along. So LeBron's kid's out there. At 11 years of age, already offered by Duke and Kentucky. And probably Ohio State, because if we remember right, LeBron was going to go to Ohio State if he didn't turn pro. So I would imagine the Buckeyes are in the middle of that as well. So that's out there. Jason Lockenfour is next. We're going to talk some NFL with Jason. He is also big into the world of soccer with Team USA tonight, taking on Argentina. That is next with Jason Lockenfour. I'm Brad Sussmat. When I was talking to Eric about the show and all over the USA and Argentina match, and want to talk some football, and he said, what about Jason Lockenfour? And I said, absolutely, because Jason is into soccer as much as I am. Whenever we've had him on, it's always entertaining. And we'll talk about the Cardinals and work that through as well. The loser tonight in Houston comes here to Phoenix. And whether it's USA or Argentina, it's still going to be a big deal. That is on Saturday. So we look forward to that. Jason Lockenfour here, CBS, CBSSports.com, NFL Insider. Before we get to the NFL, what do you think is going to happen tonight, Jason?
You know, I'm kind of torn between, you know, like your heart and mind, right? Your sort of rational mental response and your irrational, you know, fan, kind of fanboy response. And I guess I have a sense that Reality is somewhere in the middle. You know, I think it's a competitive match for 60 minutes. Mm. At least I hope it's competitive for 90. The fact that there is no extra time, you know, I think is an advantage for the U.S. because if you can keep it, you know, a lot of times international soccer, it's kind of like an early round NCAA game, right? And the longer you keep it close, the better.
Sure.
But here there's no overtime. They go straight to penalties. You know, they're not going to play the two 15-minute halves in extra time just for whatever reason. The tournament isn't formatted that way. So, you know, you kind of do know you have a hard and fast 90 there that if you can survive, and, you know, Messi only gets to take one kick. You know, he doesn't get to kick every ball for Argentina in penalties. But obviously the lineup will be different. And you know, some of those yellow card situations and red card situations from the last game, I mean, I think it's stupid that they accumulate into the semis. You know, I think after the group stage, they should be wiped out. But in this case, they weren't. So, you know, that's costing the U.S. some significant players. But we'll see. I think they'll make a game of it. I hope he starts at least one of the two youngsters that I've really been eager to see more of between Darlington Nagby and Christian Pulisic. Hopefully one of those two is in the starting lineup.
I thought it was interesting. I watched Klinsmann yesterday, and he said Argentina is beatable. And then I look at the numbers. Argentina has won their last three matches by 11 goals. And, you know, Messi's just putting on a clinic. And as you said, there's change in the lineup tonight. No Wood, no Bedoya, no Jermaine Jones. I'm kind of there with you that for our country, I don't want to see us put out and lay an egg, because I do believe that the U.S. is trying to get the world in the World Cup rotation for 2025. I'm hearing that out here from people in Phoenix. And so I'd like a good showing tonight. It's a sellout, which is good news. But I'm not sure if they're there to see the USA or see Messi. I don't know how much of that's going to be Argentina. But let's go to Klinsmann. Has he done a good enough job, in your opinion? Are you surprised that they're at this point with him?
I think he's done a fairly admirable job. Does he always get the tactics right? No. But neither did Bob Bradley. And you know, Klinsmann is an interesting, you know, sort of case study here, because he, at least per his contract and on paper, has more authority than really probably any U.S. coach since, I guess, what Bruce Arena, you know, was able to muster.
Yep.
After 02 going into 06, where they really couldn't say much to him. You know, after he came a Torsten Frings handball away from having the U.S., you know, possibly headed towards the semifinals of a World Cup. So, you know, he's a technical director. He gets to plot the course. And he's willing to be a contrarian to a certain degree, which is not what Sunil Gulati and the suits and the bureaucrats who control U.S. soccer necessarily like. So, you know, I think some of the way they talk about him, even the way the media covers him, I just think is very different. And maybe it's just the evolution of soccer in this country, but Bob Bradley did some asinine things on a regular basis, and his blind loyalty to people like Jonathan Bornstein in major tournaments turned my stomach. But he didn't get criticized from the Federation or from the media, you know, to anything close to what Klinsmann gets anytime he tries an experimental lineup. And I almost felt like him sticking with the same lineup, you know, basically through four games in this tournament, was kind of flipping the bird to all those guys. Like, okay, you say, you know what I mean? You say, I think all the time. Well, here you go. I'm going to keep rolling with these 11, and, you know, until injuries or red cards and yellow cards make me do the opposite. I thought some of the stuff Gulati said before the start of the tournament was revealing into just what U.S. soccer is really all about. And, you know, to his credit, the team's credit, every time that the deck's been stacked against them, like going into the Costa Rica game, they responded, you know, in critical junctures. So I think he'll be here through the end of the World Cup. It's easy to fire him. What U.S. soccer hasn't found an ability to do is find solutions. So, okay, he can only take us so far, but, like, who's the next guy? Is it Jason Christ or Ben Olsen or one of these guys who played in MLS who now manage them? You know, are you going to go out and spend – they always complain about what Klinsmann makes. Are you going to spend double that to go get, you know, a true top-notch, you know, manager? You know, where are you taking this? When do the Sunil Gulatis of the world have to stand up there at a press conference and answer questions? Like, why are they unimpeachable? So, no, I'm a Klinsmann guy. And, you know, he got him out of the group of death in the World Cup. He did it his way without Donovan. He's doing it his way now. They made the semifinals of a major tournament. And he's going to be here through the next World Cup, I believe. And then we'll see where they go.
If they win tonight, okay, let's just say they win tonight. Where would you put that in terms of largest USA victories? This isn't a World Cup. But with how big of a win would this be for United States tonight?
You know, I don't think you can put it up there with the win over Portugal in the 2002 World Cup, and then the 2-0 win over Mexico in the you know, in the knockout stages of that World Cup. I don't think you can put it up there with Paul Caligiuri, you know, in Trinidad and Tobago, the shot heard around the world that qualified the U.S. for the first World Cup that we would have qualified for since 1950. I mean, that ended 40 years of pain there. You know, I don't think you can put it up there with some of the moments. You know, the wild scrambles, Landon scoring that goal against who was it, Albania or whoever, and who the heck was that against?
Was it? Would it be a top 10 win, or is this just a nice win over? You know, because Messi's involved in Argentina.
I think it's a top 10 win for sure. I just don't know if it's top 5. You know, but I think it's top 10. I mean, this tournament's a little bit contrived. You know what I mean? It's kind of just a big money grab. We just played a Copa a year ago. But saying all that, you know, the guys who were injured who could have bailed, like James Rodriguez, like Messi, are playing, you know, and they're still playing. And they came back kind of mid-tournament, and they're playing full 90 in these games. So, you know, it's not like teams left everybody home. You know, Brazil left a few guys home, and they paid the price for it. So, I mean, look, it's not in the normal cycle. You know, it's kind of a one-off. It's in the U.S. rather than in a South American country. But saying all that, yeah, I mean, if they beat Argentina in the semifinals of a major FIFA tournament, it's certainly top 10. And maybe my view is a little skewed. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because I'm probably a little too much navel-gazing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it could resonate. Look, if they follow that up and they go out and pound people in the next round of World Cup qualifying, and they put up another dos acero against Mexico in the hexagonal, then, you know what I mean, and it actually reverberates and resonates, then it, you know, something like that maybe truly should be even higher, you know, depending on what follows it. But, yeah, I mean, look, at a downtime when there's not much going on in the NFL and the NBA finals are over, right, and it's kind of the dog days of the baseball season, if they pulled that off tonight, it would certainly capture the nation's attention for a while, which is always a good thing for U.S. soccer.
No, I agree with you. And that's why I'm into it. Jason Lockenfour is with us, CBS, CBSSports.com, NFL Insider. What do you make out of what the Cardinals have done here in the offseason? There's been a lot that they've done here, starting with Chandler Jones. But what have you made out of the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're obviously one of the best franchises in the NFL. They've sustained a level of success over, you know, what, three years now that is up there with anybody. I just look at how many teams. The NFC is the toughest conference. I think they have the preponderance of the better quarterbacks, especially the younger great quarterbacks. And these guys, what, have the second or third most wins within the conference over the last 3 or 4 years. They play in a very tough division, and every year they're right there. And they've got a very aggressive general manager who's not scared of his own shadow, who doesn't talk himself out of things, and doesn't fall into the groupthink that I think plagues a lot of this league. And obviously you've got an iconoclastic head coach as well, and the team has taken on that identity, and they've made it their own, and they kind of have that same, I think, irreverence about them. So it's not like they needed a whole lot. You know, obviously, you know, you mentioned Chandler Jones. Pass rush was an area where, in particular, they wanted to address it. They've tried to skin that cat a couple of different ways, and I think they'll be better off for it. The Chandler Jones trade makes a lot of sense to me. And it's a team, you know, again, you get Tyrann Mathieu back to where he was playing. And then, you know, we've kind of buried the lead here because, to me, their whole season will live or die with Carson Palmer's health.
Yep.
And then Carson Palmer's level of productivity in January. You know, I think they're kind of an easy team to figure at this point. They've got so many things in place. They've done so many things the right way. They've, you know, you look at position like running back, where 2 years ago it was like, who could do it? You know what I mean? And then it becomes a preponderance of riches to the point where Chris Johnson's playing kind of out of his mind, and he goes down, and it doesn't even really matter, right? I mean, no one even skips a beat. You look at what they've done to address the offensive line over the last few years, and I know that's still something of a work in progress, but there's been more hits than misses. So, and the defense is, you know, obviously at all three levels can be, you know, make things happen, and we'll see if they really have that true edge presence from a guy like a Chandler Jones. If he puts up a 15-16 sack season, and Carson Palmer stays healthy,
then I think in January we're talking about the Cardinals as one of the 3 to 5 teams in the league that have a legit shot to win a Super Bowl.
It's really interesting out here, Jason, in terms of Carson. It's like, let's just get to January, and that's not easy to do. That's totally the vibe out here from fans that I talk to and places I go is, yeah, it's great they're going to win a bunch of regular season games, but can this guy ever do anything to get us all the way? Based on what happened against Carolina, I've never come into a season where it's almost like, yeah, get back to me and let's see if Carson can do something in January. Never.
There's a certain irony there, too, because the team in the AFC that's really in the exact same position is where he started his career, Cincinnati, right? Mm-hmm. And those were two franchises. I don't have to tell you guys. You know, you could go through a period of 20 years and they're, you know, the least competitive of any franchises in any major U.S. pro sport. And now here they are where, like, oh, yeah, home playoff game and a division title. Like, that's cute. But, like, you know what I mean? When are we going to win 3 games in January?
Right.
And really, those teams are in the same boat. I mean, Andy Dalton is younger than Carson, but it's the same situation. Like, that's great. You want to throw for 4,500 yards. Yeah, AJ, go catch your 15 touchdowns. But what are you going to do when it's all on the line and it's, you know, we're coming out of the half and it's the first game, you know, it's the wild card or divisional round, and we're already down by 21. You know, what are you going to do then? How many picks are you going to throw in the postseason? You know, and it's not an individual sport. It's the ultimate team sport, and a lot of this shouldn't be necessarily viewed for an individual, you know, for an individual prism. But again, you know, not that Carson got that many chances in Cincinnati, but he got a few, you know, and that ended ugly, and Oakland ended ugly, and now this is a chance for him to really put a pretty bow on the tail end of his career and wrap it up pretty nicely. But if he can't get over that playoff hump, then that's going to be a big part of the narrative when you talk about the totality of his career.
Now, and we'll finish with this thought, and that is, you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu and can he come back? But this is, I don't know if this is Larry Fitzgerald's last year or not. Everybody out here is assuming it is going to be. He has not talked about it yet. The contract is sitting there. Is it time for him to wrap things up? If Carson and Larry are able to go out on a high note, that's great. This season doesn't go well. I think there's mass change coming to Arizona a year from now. I mean, less than a year from now. It's a really interesting year out here from that standpoint with Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there certainly could be, and it's a league of change, and obviously, it's going to. What Larry did last year was phenomenal. I don't know that he's going to do that again, but if he's anything close, then you know, that's massive for them. But they've kind of known that the end is coming with him for a while, and obviously it's great for all parties. They were able to work out, you know, this sort of last bite at the apple for him and a chance to play his entire career there. You know, the Carson thing is trickier, you know, because it's harder to find quarterbacks.
Yep.
They win a lot of games there. So what does that mean? It means you're not going to be in position just to have one fall to you in the top 5 or the top 10. And how much do you mortgage to move up there? Because you might be having to jump from 28 to 4 or 5. You know, how many really go? I mean, last year nobody loved those quarterbacks, right? Nobody was like, this is the best quarterback class ever. But then what the hell happened? And it always happened, right? 2 go really, really high, and a couple others go higher than they probably should, just based on need. So that's, you know, the Larry thing, obviously from a historical standpoint in terms of resonant figures in that organization, he's way up there, so there's an emotional tie. But they'll find other receivers, and they already kind of have, right? They keep finding them all over the place in all different shapes and sizes. What do they do? You know, I'd rather be a year early pulling the cord on my quarterback than a year late.
Yep.
And
yep.
How proactive are they? How much do they have to do? What are we talking about come February in the combine and the Cardinals' future? And that position in particular, as all those evaluations go down, you're right. I think it could be a very interesting, you know, 2016 into 2017 offseason for them, particularly at that position.
Thanks, Jason. Paint your face red, white, and blue for tonight. You know, have some fun with this. Right?
I'll be getting after it.
See
you
later.
Buddy.
Thanks. Take it easy. Jason Lockenfora, CBS, CBSSports.com, NFL Insider, and also, man, he is in a Copa like, whew, that was soccer. Good soccer stuff there. That was awesome. Sun Devil Stadium. So there's some pictures that were sent over to me by some people that toured it the other day. I want to bring you up to speed on that front and the whole construction part. We'll have that on the other side and a few other things before we get out of here. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Tomorrow we're going to have Pedro Gomez with us from the College World Series. I'm assuming, Eric, we're going to do NBA mock draft where we're going to have on like a writer from every city and we're going to just grind right through what Charlotte's going to do in number,
No.
That's not happening. We'll have some fun around the draft, though. It's just I went on a rampage about 30 minutes ago and I still am a little wound up. Because I don't want to sit here on and watch the Suns do their thing and just completely implode. They've worked too hard to suck so bad to get to the fourth pick overall. So don't screw it up. And that's just a fact. You have to work hard to get the fourth overall pick. So don't miss. Because we never want to be back here again. So I have some pictures some people sent me on the stadium construction over at ASU. For some reason, people... I don't know if there's just not much for you to do or think about around ASU football, so you're worried that your seat isn't going to be there to start out the season. Last time I checked, I've never seen a stadium where they said, we're not playing the games here this year because, oh, we didn't get it finished. Whew. Breathe. It's going to happen. All right, so the first picture we have here. So there's the chain link fence that is up. Chain link fence, now, from my understanding, the people that were taking these pictures that are part of this project. The 50-yard line south is being graded out for the new turf. Means they're going to have the grass in there soon, okay? So that's the first picture, and that's the north end zone. Or south end zone, I should say. South end zone. We have a couple other pictures here. These are of the west stands. They're being delivered. They're being put in. I've seen some others that are putting these pictures up as well. Ooh, stands, good, good seats. Yeah, good. Okay, so that's what it looks like right now, and they're in there working away on it. So Friday night, I'm going to be emceeing this event in Pine Top, and the people that are in charge of the construction and Ray Anderson are going to do a question and answer with these season ticket holders. So I'm going to be right in the middle of all this. And I'm not anticipating them just looking at everybody saying, ta-da, we screwed up. We can't get it. You in. Knock yourself out. No, it's going to be fine.
It's hard to envision the stadium being done looking at those photos that we just put up. I mean, I'm sure it's going to get done. It's just, you know, we're almost to July.
Have you ever built a house?
They'll have to know.
Okay, so when you build a house, I've built two.
Okay.
Okay. When you build a house and you go over there and you see the site, and you're like, there's no way this is going to be done. There's no way this is going to be done. And then you come over and it's like, oh my gosh, there's a lot that happened here. It just kind of all comes together. It's kind of like this show. How many days do we sit here at like 10:04 and say, WTF, what's going to happen today? And then by the end,
it's very often.
This is really good.
I don't think you're giving us enough credit.
Same thing as a house.
We don't roll in here 10 minutes for a show and do a show. We don't plan out the show for 4 hours, but we also don't just show up and just crack open the mic and just talk.
Really?
There is some plan.
Did you know I had a rant in me today?
When I get emails from you at 4:38 a.m., 5:12 a.m., 6:39 a.m.
This has nothing to do with building houses. This has
everything
to do with...
And it has just stacks of things for the show?
This is everything to do with me taking this job very serious.
Yes.
As you can tell.
But there is a different priority to building a house and building a football stadium that is going to host a college football game in 3 months.
What? It's the same deal. There's more bathrooms, okay? There's some seats.
And you have way more workers working on Sundevil Stadium than you would a track home out in the East Valley.
You know, though, I did hear from some people the whole thing about them doing 24 hours straight is not entirely accurate. The city of Tempe has not been thrilled about that.
The stadium's going to look really nice when it's done.
Sure.
And it's much needed that they made that stadium smaller.
Here's the thing on it. There's going to be some people that are going to bitch, okay? I had this seat back to my grandfather's grandfather. It's been in our family. I'm seat number 10324. And now I don't have my seat where what? There's going to be those people. That happens. I'm sorry. progress changes things. It can't always be how it was. I know you want it to be. 40 years from now, somebody will say, man, they had this athletic director, Ray Anderson. What was he thinking? He built it to only be X. Well, we should have made it for 150,000 seats. It's kind of like what's going on downtown. Jerry had no idea. Those guys that built Chase Field were just flat wrong. They should have never made it so big. I don't know. If the team didn't blow every year for like the last 6 years, maybe there'd be people in those seats.
Right? And shiny and new may not always appeal to season ticket holders, but it does appeal to recruits. And that is your target when you want to build competitive football teams that win double-digit games every year. Shiny and new.
Shiny and new. Okay, I agree with you on that. But let's also be honest that if Big Cigar goes to a game on a Sunday over in Glendale and then goes to a game on a Saturday over in Tempe, he's getting a completely different experience.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't matter that it's not enclosed to me. I've heard this, well, they'll never be able to compete because there's not a roof. I don't know. We have a roof in Glendale that we barely ever open. For some reason, it never really gets used. And it's a great stadium. Sun Devil's a great stadium in October, November,
yep,
when it's a night game, even when it's a day game. It's beautiful. But when you don't have amenities and you're asking people to go to a place that's really, it's a dump. It's been a dump. And fans that have been there forever don't like to hear that. There are some that get it, but this is my dump. I went to college back here in the day. What do you mean this is a dump? Have you gone into the restroom that's overflowing? Have you tried to get the nachos from the little stand that was built in 1972? I mean, it's embarrassing. So this is needed. This is progress. Progress, sometimes people don't like it. So, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona. Did I offend enough people today? AZ Central Sports. We partner every day with AZ Central. Let's appreciate that partnership. It's terrific. Good people there. We have our Football AZ show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ show, that is on hiatus for about another, I don't know, 6 weeks.
It's vacationing like we are.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're kind of talking every day.
Sorry, I threw Jared for a loop. He didn't think I'd be popping back on the air, but I am.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, look, fine. A black square.
Iron Man is back.
Hi, it's me. Yeah. Voice of God. Hardly.
Have yourself a good day.